It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Wet weather taking a toll. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. Relentless rain last night causing widespread flooding in places like Lockport, New York, still under a state of emergency. Meteorologist Andrew Baglini says the good news is some much-needed dry time is ahead.
These thunderstorms, I mean, they were terrible, not only producing the flash flooding, lots and lots of hail and pretty large hail for this region as well. But it's really been the flooding, I think, the worst of these storms as they've been hammering the same areas over and over. Thankfully, they're now on the move.
Jim Mitchell with the National Weather Service notes the stark contrast this summer between the haves and have-nots.
We've just been stuck in this overall pattern where everyone's been paying attention to seeing that out west they've had record heat, all-time record highs. So the pattern out there is they're kind of under that regime. And then on the opposite end of the country, we're under this regime where we're just getting, belted with disturbance after disturbance that just keeps producing rain and storms and severe weather.
The next chance for any significant rain, not till late this weekend. The White House encouraging schools across America to use COVID relief money on anti-racist education programs like critical race theory. Their guide for reopening is linked to a radical group called the Abolitionist Teaching Network, or ATN. That group admonishes teachers to disrupt whiteness in the classroom. Reporter Aisha Hosni.
They want to send white teachers to anti-racist therapy and abolish anything they deem oppressive. That could be anything from suspensions to even school uniforms.
Critics of the Abolitionist Teaching Network argue the curriculum they're pursuing amounts to propaganda and will only serve to turn America's schools into indoctrination factories.
It is wrong. Of course, I fully believe in diversity and inclusion, but what I do not believe and I do not stand for is this thought process that the country is irreparably racist and that white people are irreparably racist and there's nothing they can ever do except become anti-racist and address their white fragility. That is insane.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, grim new measure today on the toll the coronavirus is taking on this country. Life expectancy in the U.S. dropped by a year and a half in 2020. That's the biggest decline since World War II. The problem right now, the Delta variant, blamed for more than 80% of all new COVID cases. Dr. Kathy O'Neill, an infectious disease expert from New Orleans.
Delta variant is sneaky. It's a beast. And it has figured out why you are no longer that person who's going to be fine.
A war of words on Capitol Hill when it comes to the origins of COVID-19.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement.
Kentucky Republican Rand Paul got into it with the pandemic point man, Anthony Fauci, during a Senate hearing yesterday.
You do not know what you are talking about.
The gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
The senator says the scientists paid to make viruses more lethal at the Wuhan lab in China. He wants the Justice Department to look into Fauci's claims.
He is dancing around the truth. Why? Because if this disease came from the lab and they were funding gain of function, guess what? There's some, at the very least, moral culpability he has for the beginning of the pandemic.
Dr. Brent Girard, a Navy admiral, thinks Paul may be onto something here.
I do believe probably Dr. Fauci was hiding behind the technical definitions of what the NIH might consider, quote, gain-of-function research. But what they did fund was exactly what Rand Paul said. They funded researchers to go in the hundreds of miles away into the back of bat caves, extract dangerous viruses from bats that have never been seen by humans before, and bring them to a city of 10 million people in the Wuhan lab. Now, that may not technically be, quote, gain-of-function research, but it is dangerous research, and Senator Paul's questions deserve to be answered. I have never ever seen, and I hope it never happens again, that a witness who's a public health official calls a U.S. senator a liar and doesn't know what he was talking about, when clearly Senator Paul read the paper, and had important points to be made.
Navy Admiral Brett Girard, Texas Democrats defending their excursion to D.C. amid an outbreak of COVID cases among some 50 representatives who fled the Lone Star State to protest voting reforms. Conservative commentator Ari Fleischer.
It's hard to imagine a bigger self-designed failure. They fled their jobs, they left their workplace, they came to Washington to alarm people for a cause, and it's all backfired, and gotten them sick. And they're not going to be able to get out their message anymore. And when they go back to Texas, they'll get arrested. So if you wanted to design an event that failed, this is how you do it.
Six Democrats from Texas contracted COVID as they remain holed up in the nation's capital. The White House is refusing to call it a super spreader event. Spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
That's not a characterization we're making from here. We certainly understand there will be breakthrough cases. Even vaccines that are incredibly effective are not foolproof.
The Texas infections prompted Vice President Harris to get a COVID test over the weekend at Walter Reed. She met with some of those representatives who arrived in D.C. earlier this month. A fully vaccinated White House staffer and an aide to House Speaker Pelosi have also contracted COVID in our nation's capital. Senate Democrats pushing ahead with a test vote today on President Biden's $1 trillion infrastructure plan. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This week's vote is an honest attempt to get something done, to get the ball rolling on the Senate floor.
Republicans threatening a filibuster. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he won't sign on the deal until he sees what's in that deal.
We're not going to the bill until we know what the bill is. The economy does not need this tax and spending spree.
McConnell says the infrastructure plan is just another liberal wish list. The buck stops here. Milwaukee defeating Phoenix last night to win its first NBA championship in 50 years.
It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Giannis, the Greek freak, proved to be the real deal. He scored 50 to lead the Bucks to the title. And the opening ceremonies of the Summer Olympics, less than 2 days away, but already the athletic competition is underway in Tokyo.
Now, an Olympics update from NBC News Radio.
It's been 5 years since the U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden at the Olympics. This morning, it happened again. This time, it was a shutout loss to the Swedes in their first match of the Summer Games. They're back at it Saturday against New Zealand. U.S. women's softball opened with a better result, blanking Italy. Kat Osterman gave up just one hit in six innings of work. Friday will be the Summer Games opening ceremonies. The chief of the Olympic Organizing Committee says they aren't ruling out a last-minute cancellation should concerns with COVID-19 worsen. The U.S. women's gymnastics team is no longer in the Olympic Village. They've been moved into a hotel setting to attempt to better protect them from the virus. Two on the team are currently quarantined following positive tests. And Uninterrupted, a media company owned by LeBron James, is using Twitter to challenge the Olympic rule that prohibits protests on the medal stand, saying that silences athletes. I'm Frank Arity, NBC News Radio.
10 minutes past the hour, still to come on the Noon Report. Flood cleanup efforts, wolf warms to voter ID, and bye-bye Blue Jays.
Good afternoon. We're looking at some cooler and calmer weather over the next couple of days compared to recent days. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you, Kevin Williams. The flood cleanup efforts are underway in earnest in Niagara County, New York, still under a state of emergency from last night's storm.
Golf ball-sized hail coming down here just west of Lockport, New York, in Niagara County.
That's Chris Guerrero, a school teacher from Lockport, who recorded the storm on his cell phone last night.
It is exciting to see just because you're in awe of what nature can do, but at the same time, it's concerning because you know exactly what damage this could cause and how it could risk life and property.
Firefighters performed numerous water rescues late into the evening in Lockport, which sustained the bulk of the damage. John Schultz, Director of Emergency Services for Niagara County.
We've had some flooding at one of our local hospitals. We had flooding here right in our Emergency Operations Center. Some significant water here, and unfortunately many, many businesses and residences across the county are still flooded at this point.
Many roads throughout Niagara County still impassable due to those drenching downpours.
That water is not going anywhere. It's going to take a while to drain. In Niagara County, likely saw between 3 to 6 inches of rainfall yesterday. Last week, they saw around 3 to 6 inches of rain again. very thankful for a quiet forecast because the last thing people up here in Niagara County need is more rain.
Elise Smith with WGRZ Television. That haze that's hovering all across the listening area, going to be sticking around for a while. Meteorologist Addis Jukla with ABC 27 in Pennsylvania.
This will continue over the next couple of days. What's happening is we've had a lot of hot and dry weather across the western third of the nation. So all these fires have been building, sending lots of smoke into the atmosphere. And then the jet stream level winds carry that smoke. Now, it takes a certain trajectory of this jet stream for us to see the smoke, and that is what is happening.
Smoke from those western wildfires has led to air quality advisories throughout New York and Pennsylvania. The United States government announced today that the border with Canada will remain closed until at least August 21st. Canada had recently announced that the border will be open to non-essential travel on August 9th, providing those traveling are vaccinated and get a COVID test. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf apparently has had a change of heart when it comes to voting reforms in the Commonwealth.
After vetoing voter ID legislation earlier this month, Wolf now says he's open to some stricter rules, including requiring identification for mail-in voting. The governor says he shot down voting reforms approved by the General Assembly because he believed Republicans were only interested in voter suppression. GOP leaders say the reforms are necessary to protect the integrity of elections. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. The embattled mayor of Rochester, New York, and her estranged husband were both in court this morning in Cayuga County to answer to weapons charges. Comes after Lovely Warren's home was raided and her husband arrested back in May. A rifle and pistol were found inside, along with the mayor's 10-year-old daughter, who was home alone. Mayor Warren pleading not guilty to child endangerment charges. Lackawanna, New York residents are remembering an elderly neighbor today who was tragically killed in a home explosion early Tuesday.
Very sweet lady. How she say bye to everyone all these years. I don't know what to say.
92-year-old Irene Sanek died after the blast completely destroyed her home. This neighbor telling WIVB-TV.
And there was no house left. There was still fire coming up from the ground. There was firemen and everyone trying to put it out. Someone's life was everywhere in the street. It was destruction. It was horrible.
No one else was injured. Seven homes were damaged. Still no official word on what caused that horrific blast there in Lackawanna, New York. Well, today marks the end of an era in Buffalo as the Toronto Blue Jays play their final home game in the Queen City. It's actually home games. Fans being treated to a doubleheader today against the Red Sox. The Blue Jays were recently given approval from Canada to return to Toronto for the rest of the season. They played most of their home games at Salem Field in Buffalo the last couple of seasons due to COVID. Buffalo's AAA team, the Bisons, they returned to home, their home confines, that is, on August 10th when they take on Rochester. The Bisons have been playing their home games in Trenton, New Jersey. It is 14 past the hour for the first time in 50 years. The Bucks are champs. Sonny's next with the two-minute drill.
Yeah, we start in Milwaukee, where it was over when Giannis did this from the free throw line.
50 points. Only the seventh player in the history of the finals to have a 50-point game.
Which led to this.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
The Bucks beat the Suns 105-98 to win it all. Giannis, the first player ever to average 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists while shooting 60% from the field in an NBA Finals series. Of course, your Finals MVP. He wants others to know.
I hope I give people around the world, from Africa, from Europe, give them hope, you know, that it can be done. It can be done. 8.5 years ago, before I came to the league, I didn't know where my next move will come
Phoenix
from.
Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams was devastated by the loss.
It's hard to get here, and I wanted it so bad, you know.
Congratulations, Milwaukee. A shocker at the Olympics, the American women were shut out by the Swedes in their opening match of the Summer Games. The final score, 3-0. Sweden, the only team to have scored on the U.S. in the past year. Team USA softball back in the Olympics with a 2-0 victory over Italy. The sport has returned to the Games after 13 years. The U.S. looking for a fourth gold medal. The U.S. will play Canada tonight. President Joe Biden paid tribute to the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the White House. Tom Brady with some zingers.
Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And
fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
You understand that,
Mr. President?
To baseball, the Blue Jays-Red Sox game rained out. The Reds hammered out three homers. They edged the Mets 4-3. Yankees hit four homers and rode to a 6-4 win over the Phillies. Nationals beat the Marlins 6-3. Jose Altuve hit a pair of homers. Astros beat Cleveland again 9-3. Diamondbacks scored eight runs in the seventh to beat the Pirates 11-6. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Excellent work as always. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, Coach sues for the right to pray, college shopping tips, and we're celebrating a summer staple. Today is National Hot Dog Day.
For us, T.S. Eliot said, there's only the trying. The rest is really none of our business. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Recently, I talked to my friend James Ackerman, who's the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, and he told me a story about when he was younger and how God used him in a very special way. Here's James Ackerman.
When I was 18 years old, I got my girlfriend pregnant. She had an abortion. While I was not in favor of it, I didn't try to stop it either. 4 years later, I would give my life to Jesus when I answered an altar call at Calvary Baptist Church in New York City. Most of my new Christian friends were the Upper East Side type who went to Bible studies at DeMoss House. But a couple of my friends would regularly chain themselves to the entrance of abortion clinics, spending the rest of their weekends in jail. I was not up for joining them, but the Lord did call me to do something. I learned there was an abortion clinic in an office building on Lower Park Avenue, 5 blocks from my apartment in the city. It opened at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings. The Lord put it on my heart, the need to minister in front of that abortion clinic, not in protest, but with a Bible in hand to share the love of Jesus, to let women know they had other options, to offer to pray with them, and to point them to the local crisis pregnancy center. So I prayed, Lord, if this is really from you, you have to wake me up at 5 a.m. every Saturday morning. I'm not going to set my alarm clock. It has to come from you. Saturday morning, 5 a.m., bing, I am wide awake. So with Bible in hand, I make my way to Park Avenue South. The office building that houses abortion clinic had a large plaza in front of it. As women made their way into it, I would walk backwards from the sidewalk to the entrance saying, Jesus loves you. There is a better way. Can we talk? That's it. And you know what? Every Saturday morning for a year, at least one woman turned around. Some are just afraid, saying things like, I can't afford to have another child. A few even told me they had prayed that God would put somebody in their path that morning, and I was the answer to that prayer. The last Saturday I went, a man became furious as I spoke to his girlfriend. After he got her inside, he came back out, walked to his car, and pulled out a baseball bat. After 3 or 4 blows to the head, I was on the ground. The security officers came running out to assist me, asking, "Do you want us to call the police?" "No, it's fine," I said. "I'll be all right." Do you know, not once in that year did those security officers ever even talk to me. Not once did they tell me to get off their property and stop what I was doing. That very night, at a friend's birthday party, I was in no mood to attend. Bruised and beaten, I would meet my wife of 31 years, Martha. The next Saturday, I woke up at 8 a.m., looking forward to taking Martha out on our first date. Just before the Wilberforce weekend in Fort Worth, I had lunch with a friend of mine who reminded me of this time. He said, God was redeeming you. I'd never thought of it that way. And then I realized something. There are at least 52 men and women alive today, all of them 32 years old, because Jesus alarm clocked me at 5 a.m. every Saturday morning for a year and said, go there.
That was James Ackerman, the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries. Of course, the Colson Center and Prison Fellowship were birthed under the same roof by the same visionary, the late great Chuck Colson. I loved hearing James Ackerman's testimony of how God pointed him to do something, enabled him to do it, and then the results were left up to him. What a great testimony for the rest of us to emulate. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour. Let's take it outside, Kevin Williams.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast. There'll still be a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Other areas seeing clouds breaking for some sunshine. Cooler and less humid than yesterday, with high temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. Dropping tonight into the 50s in many areas. The skies turn mainly clear. Some patchy fog overnight. Then a good deal of sunshine and pleasant tomorrow. The high temperature in the 70s. Some sun on Friday. A 50-50 weekend. Pleasant Saturday. Some showers and rumbles Sunday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's going on. This Wednesday, the 21st of July, water woes continue in western New York. A travel ban in Niagara County lifted overnight, but the state of emergency is still in effect for those devastated by storms. The cleanup effort will not be short-lived in hard-hit Lockport, which is inundated. Many roads there still closed this afternoon. The majority leader of the United States Senate has an important message for America.
Get vaccinated. This is not complicated.
Republican Mitch McConnell.
These shots need to get in everybody's arm as rapidly as possible, or we're going to be back in a situation in the fall that we don't yearn for, that we went through last year.
The CDC sounding the alarm about the highly contagious Delta variant, which now accounts for 83% of all new COVID cases. Meantime, confusion and anger growing over new mask and vaccine mandates. A growing number of schools are requiring masks this fall, even for the vaccinated, and that is frustrating a lot of parents.
We were under the impression with a vaccine you would no longer have to be wearing your mask.
The problem is schools can't tell who's vaccinated and who's not, and that's why they're putting in these policies.
And when it comes to vaccines, 9 states have barred schools from requiring kids get the shot in order to return to school.
To force kids to wear masks or to be vaccinated against their parents' wishes, I don't know. I don't think we should be doing that as a government.
The country averaging more than 1,000 new COVID infections every hour right now. New study suggests the Johnson & Johnson jab is not as effective as other vaccines at protecting you against the Delta variant. Researchers found antibody levels from people who got the J&J shot were twice as low as those who were administered the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. 13 million Americans who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may need boosters to protect against variants like the Delta variant. An infrastructure package facing a test vote in the U.S. Senate today. Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
It's literally a shell bill. It's called infrastructure, but it has no details tied to it. So I don't know how anybody can be asked to vote to proceed on a debate on a bill that doesn't exist yet.
The head of the company that now controls Chrysler says a global computer chip shortage has cut vehicle production, and that will likely last well into next year. Auto analyst Michelle Krebs says it has made new vehicles hard to get and used ones more expensive.
The average listing price of a used vehicle is almost at $25,000 right now.
A Washington State football coach fired by his high school over post-game prayers is taking his case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
We really can see the battle that's going on today over something so simple like your First Amendment rights.
Joe Kennedy, a former Marine, was let go by his school after he refused to stop saying prayers on the field after games.
The First Amendment is under attack, and somebody's got to stand up for it. Stand up for your faith, and hopefully we won't have to have anybody else choose between their faith and their job.
The coach claims his faith is not something he can just turn on and off like a light switch. A wrongful termination lawsuit's been filed against the coach's old employer, Bremerton High School in the state of Washington. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And today, Chris, we're talking once again to the rising seniors in high school and their parents as they are college shopping.
We addressed this topic a couple of years ago. About the same time, and in light of current events that we're seeing in society and the direction that most universities are heading, it's really important for us to dig right into this once again.
Well, Chris, as seniors and their parents are looking at different schools, what are the newer developments they need to consider?
Well, we'll start right in with what's been in the news a lot lately, and that being this pushing of this new critical race theory. Now, We're not going to get into the specifics of what CRT is during this segment, but you need to know that this theory is being widely accepted and is very dangerous. If you are interested in knowing more about CRT, I'm going to have a link posted on the Real Answers page of today's segment where you can then click on a great article that's actually published by Hillsdale College in Michigan that will give you a lot of what you need to know about critical race theory. But in essence, CRT is a Marxist philosophy that will actually continue to work to tear down the very freedoms and the checks and balances of our Constitution. So with that said, many, many universities and colleges are embracing this because of its language and false usage of terms that sound really good, but are actually tools to promote victimization and blame people today for the ills of the past. That's kind of in a nutshell what it's going to do. And ultimately, it's going to continue to cause even deeper division in our nation. So this CRT is not something that we want to support.
Well, that's certainly significant. So what do parents need to realize today as they help their students decide on post-high school education?
Well, I like the way you worded that, Brandon, because it's not exclusively about sending students to colleges or universities. There's such a huge need for workers in the trades that this is an incredibly wonderful option for students. The changing face of everything from transportation to utilities to the energy sector will require a lot of people trained in numerous trades. So New York State has the BOCES system, and the Pennsylvania equivalent, I believe, is called the Intermediate Unit. These training centers, which link students up with the trades to get them into these jobs. But if your student wants to go to college or university, there's some very important things to remember, and I've got a few tips outlined here, Brandon. And number one, you want to look at the student affairs page on these colleges, go to the website, find student affairs or the equivalent, and see what types of departments exist, and you'll likely get a very good picture of the types of philosophies that will be pushed on your children. You'll need to give hard consideration as to whether or not you want to support these schools with your money. If a prospective school doesn't have a strong support network for Christians, then, of course, that is a significant red flag. Mm. Number two, consider the schools that demonstrate a continued commitment to the principles of biblical faith. Your students will not be so sheltered from these schools that they won't still be exposed to these philosophies that are out in the world. That's kind of a false belief. They will be prepared because colleges that are refusing to bow down to these trends in society realize that they still need to prepare their students to function in a society that continues to move away from solid biblical principles. Number three, remember that many colleges and universities historically have built their reputations at a time in our nation's history when our society was much more accepting and supportive of principles of faith. So many of these schools are riding the coattails of their reputations that they've gained in previous decades and generations. Even schools on the outside that kind of look like they're Christian but may not truly be supportive of biblical principles any longer, you got to keep that in mind. So parents, please listen. Do your homework. Don't let a lot of old architecture and religious symbols lead you into a false sense of security. This fourth one is a big consideration, Brandon, and that is the price. Remember, the borrower is the slave to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. So I've said this before on the segment, look for alternative ways of financing higher education, including serving in the military, not to mention making a career out of the military are attractive options for many. You may also look into working for these colleges or universities that offer added benefits of attending classes free of charge in addition to traditional benefits such as health insurance and or contributions to a retirement. There may be jobs available to students right out of high school that students could do for the college or university that will allow them to actually take their classes on the side. So the thing is, these brick and mortar schools right now are really competing against these many online options in order to keep students on campus. So don't hesitate to look for options that offer work study programs beyond what they've traditionally offered, which many times have historically not really paid that much towards the cost of tuition. So there are partnerships also between community colleges and four-year schools that may also save your student money as well in the long run.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.
All right, Brandon Dixon, thank you for that. And Real Answers comes your way every Wednesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The cold front that has generated showers and thunderstorms of late is slowly drifting through Pennsylvania now, and it'll take the rains with it. Skies are already have cleared in some parts of the region, and that sets the trend to be your friend with fair, calmer weather ahead. For this afternoon, though, there'll still be a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Other areas seeing clouds breaking for some sunshine. Cooler and less humid than yesterday, with high temperatures in the 70s and low 80s, dropping tonight into the 50s in many areas as skies turn mainly clear, some patchy fog overnight. Then a good deal of sunshine and pleasant tomorrow, the high temperature in the 70s, some sun on Friday, a 50-50 weekend, pleasant Saturday, some showers and rumbles Sunday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally from us at noon today, celebrating a summertime staple on a bun. It's National Hot Dog Day.
Yeah, Bob, today's the day we pay homage to the Frankfurter, sausage, banger, footlong, red hot, and weenie. Whether they're grilled, roasted, boiled, or fried, nothing says summer quite like the hot dog. It's one of the world's oldest forms of processed meat. Some hot dog historians believe the famous food was developed in Germany 5 years before Christopher Columbus set sail for the New World. The first hot dogs in America were sold on push carts in New York City in the 1860s. Hot dog historians say it wasn't until the early 1900s that hot dogs were introduced on bread, which later became buns. Mustard, the most popular condiment for hot dogs, followed by ketchup, onions, and relish. Bill Price, Family Life News.
And I think I'm supposed to say here, you never put ketchup on a hot dog. Just don't do it, folks. That's the world we live in. Wednesday, the 21st of July. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.